I'm always intimidated coming up here because I know the depth of knowledge that the people have out there. And then I have to follow that singing. That's part one. Part two, I made a huge mistake. Just on a whim, I said, hey, Dave, Becky, Judy, let's do this on that September 15th. I volunteered to do it. Then Wednesday night, they were setting up the chairs. And I realized I made a huge mistake. We got a lot of people here. And I apologize beforehand. But I want to see if I can muddle through this. This is an idea I've had for months, and I guarantee if I did it 2 months from now, it'd be even better. And if I did it 2 months after that, it'd be better. So we're going to try to get through this and see what happens. I'm going to start with a passage this morning. I'm going to start with Acts 17, 1 through 5. Acts 17, 1 through 5. When Paul and his companions had passed through, and this is, I'm going to pull a Jeff here and just make stuff up, had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. I got that one. Where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went to the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. We'll touch back on verse 5 there later. But as people, we fill many roles in our lives. We have a lot of roles and responsibilities that we have. Through the years, we're a child. We may be a sibling. We may be a parent, a grandparent. And then our professional careers, we have our jobs. We're teachers, engineers, contractors, mechanics. We've got quite a few things represented. And then outside of that, we even have other jobs. We're coaches, mentors, general managers of basketball programs. We have multiple roles that we play in life on a daily basis. And those are the roles I want to discuss. I want to discuss these for us as Christians. Now, I'm not going to talk just about Echo Hills because I think we have many people that fill many roles here. And they're vital roles for the success of this church and success of the REACH program and just success of the Echo Hills, what goes on in this building and people attached to this building. We have people that do projects ranging from making sure this building stays functional. Sometimes I think it's just making sure it stays standing. But there's a construction project going on almost 365 days a year. But that's one of the roles that we play at this church. Then we have the people who participate in the REACH ministry, people who spread the message to the young people in this area. We have the men that come up here on Sunday mornings and preach from the Word. We have people who make bulletins. We have people who coordinate dinners. We have plenty of things that we get done around here, but I want to focus on the bigger picture. Now, the original idea came for this when Betsy and I were coming back from camp. And for those of you that came back from camp, you know from Hornbeek to Nashville, there's not a whole lot to see. So Betsy was tired because she was pregnant at that point. And I don't know how she toughed out as long as she did at camp, but she toughed out camp and those beds, those mattresses. But we were coming back, and there was plenty of time for me to think, and I got thinking about camp, the roles that people played at camp. We had Dave, ran the camp. It was actually organized. If anybody knows Dave, that's a step in the right direction. He had lessons planned out. Hey, it was impressive. We had Jim. He was executive chef and the executive producer / director of our entertainment. Our entertainment included our two stars over here, Jaquan and Ladarius. If you haven't seen the videos, please do. Then in the ladies' cabin, we had leaders. We had Becky, Dawn, and Betsy. They taught classes. They handled other responsibilities. They taught team building activities. They did the craft class. They even participated in lifeguarding every so often, dragging people out of the pool. True story. She did drag somebody out of the pool. Then we had Brandon and Sean. They were teaching the kids. They were doing team building activities, athletics director, a lot of things. Stevie, she took pictures. She made the packaged muffins that we ate at breakfast look very nice. They were great pictures. She made it look like we were having fun, too. And we were, for the most part, but there were times. You know, you get camp, it gets a little long, you want to go home. But she made it look like we were having fun, and there were some great pictures from camp. We had Papa. Papa was in the kitchen with Jim. They coordinated the daily shopping trip or trips, however many it took. They coordinated the fireworks show too. But those responsibilities they had. Then we had Matt Johnson. Matt led the singing. He led the lessons in the big during the big lesson time. And he and Jonathan, Dave's brother, they built the fire. That doesn't sound impressive to you know. It was pouring down rain. It's not often you see men standing with an umbrella over a fire. They smelled bad when they came back in too. But they protected the fire. Then we had Eric. Eric one night had Sean and I. Sean and I were on our knees laughing, and I'm pretty sure I stopped breathing at some point because of the stories he was telling. He was also a great friend of the kids. The kids have so much fun with Eric. They have so much fun. That was a part of the story as to how they have fun with him. We still don't understand that. But he had fun with them. And so it got me thinking, what did I do? Well, I helped in the kitchen a little bit. I chopped onions. Cried a couple times. It's because of the onions, I promise. We had a medical situation. I helped Dave with that. Went to the doctor's office. Got some stitches. Not one of us, but one of the kids. And I took receipts from the shopping trips. And I guess the biggest thing I did was activate the credit card, the debit card again, so they could continue their shopping spree. But honestly, what did I do? Did I help the kids? You know, maybe. But that got me to thinking. A whole group of people can get together, function in roles, and we had a great camp. We had a successful camp. It took the whole of everybody there. And that's what we do as Christians, and that's where we're going to head with this, hopefully. And that, and again, that doesn't even begin to cover the people that help leading up the camp, the packing of camp, the going to buy groceries and buying this, and the people who help clean up afterwards. There's so many people involved in camp, and so many people aren't even seen. People who help fund camp, people who help make sure we have everything we need. So that's the awesome thing about this place is things happen. And I'm going to tell, and this is off script, but I'm going to tell what happened with Patrick, okay? We have Patrick back there with his wife and daughter. He needed funds to go to Fiji. And Papa and I, this is hilarious, Papa and I trying to get international tickets, one-way tickets from Fiji to Nashville till midnight, one Wednesday night after church. And then to have the phone calls, because the credit card we used had Judy's name on it, the phone number was mine, it was Patrick's name, so for some reason they were worried about fraud with all that information. So I got phone call after phone call after email after phone call after email. It took about 3 days, but we finally sweated it out, got through, and Patrick and his family are here. And I'm going to tell you the most rewarding thing for me was that morning at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning at Nashville Airport to see him come up that ramp with that smile and his family. That made every bit of torture that I went through that week worth it. Also, when I called him in L.A., and he said he had landed, they had cleared customs, they were all on this side of America, I'm in Charlie's nursery fist pumping. I didn't realize how much stress I'd actually put on myself for this because I was worried. And I'm glad he told me the whole story after he got back of getting out of Fiji. But that's what happens. And we pay, and this church, through the collections that we took, were able to fund that whole thing and have a tremendously happy family. That's the role we played in that. And that's what we do every day. That's what we do as Christians. That should be our goal every day as Christians, is to make somebody else's day, somebody else's life better. That's part of being a Christian. I want to look at some people in the Bible, some common people in the Bible. They started out as common people, and then they ascended to greatness thanks to the help of God and the direction and leadership of God. First, let's talk about Jacob. My Bible is a study Bible. I had a little thing that says the name of the person, what they were thought of as, and what they achieved. Jacob was labeled the deceiver. Just think about it. He deceived his father to make sure he got the birthright and the blessing. That's how he started out. But what did he end up being? He ended up being the father of Israel. So he went from this kind of shady act to becoming the father of Israel and becoming great. Then we had Moses. Moses was known as an exiled shepherd and a murderer. And I think from the beginning, things were a little sketchy for Moses. He was put on the water, on the Nile. The Pharaoh's daughter found him, raised him, raised up, and he ended up committing murder, and he was exiled out of Egypt. And then God went to him and said, "You're going to leave my people." He said, "What? No, wrong guy." But God pushed him, pushed him, and got him to the point where he led the people of Israel out of slavery. And we had David, who Jared referred to in the prayer. Just a little boy, a little shepherd boy, goes out, kills Goliath, and goes on to be one of the greatest kings in the history of Israel. So you see what can happen. We can start from that common average person, and with the help of God, become great. New Testament. Let's talk about the apostles. What a ragtag group. Got a few fishermen. Got a tax collector. Who wants to hang out with that guy? And we had a physician. So we're talking about a very group there. Jesus comes and they basically said, "Let's go. Where you want to go?" And they ascended to greatness. I mean, to go from being a common person to greatness. That's what we're talking about here. And the last person we're going to talk about in the New Testament is Paul. Let's read Acts 8, 1 through 3. And that's where we're going to read about Paul, who at that time was still called Saul. It was before his conversion and his actions against early Christians. So in verse 1, chapter 8 of Acts, "And Saul approved of their killing him." Now this is where, in the end of 7, he's talking about Stephen. Stephen had just been stoned to death for talking about Jesus. "So Saul approved their killing of him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison." Is this the guy you want to put as the face of Christianity? The guy who's killing Christians, dragging them to jail? God saw something bigger. God gets to see he sees the big picture. That's where we don't. He sees the big picture. So you see, in the next one, next chapter, Acts verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1. "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." He's still killing people. But as we know, on the road to Damascus, everything changed for him. So later in chapter 9, starting with verse 19, here's Saul after he's been converted. "Saul spent several days with his disciples in Damascus. At once, he was converted and immediately went from killing Christians and imprisoning Christians to preaching. So at once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?' Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah." What wondrous things can God do when he changes our role? We go from the poster child of the anti-Christian movement to the poster child of the Christian movement. All in a chapter. That's how God works. That's what he wants done. Now, as Paul matured in his ministry, his message of Jesus, he goes on to state in Acts 26, 29. He was in jail, and he stated, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am." And of course, he has the "except for these chains." Chains. He wanted people to take the message and take it out. Do what he had been doing. Promote Christianity. Spread the word. Spread the message. And that is what Paul wanted people to do. Paul wanted the people he contacted to like him, to be like him, and spread that word. God took advantage of these average people. These people who had a different way, and he changed them. And they became great for God in spreading the word. Now, today we have Jesus serving as the head of our church. And he wants to use us, the average person, the average people, to spread his word to the world. We can use many roles to accomplish this, but we're going to look at Matthew 5, 14 through 16. In Matthew 5, it says, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So he wants us to take our light out into the world. Don't cover it up. This little kid song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine," it has a big message. Take it out into the world. Don't snuff it out. When I was going through Greece, Corinth, the city of Corinth, at least the modern day city, is up on a hill. We're driving on the road at the base of the hill, look up, and we see these lights. We're like, what's that? And the bus driver, in his nice Greek thick accent, finally got through to us. It was Corinth. That's a light that's up on the hill. You see the lights on the hill. That's what God wants us to do. Take our light out and go on a hill. Spread that light. Carry the message out into the world. Now, to do that, we have to be knowledgeable. We have to continually learn and become more knowledgeable about Jesus. And one of the things I've been able to do, blessed to do, because of Bible Bowl, was to teach the high school class on Wednesday nights. I think I've learned more in the last 3 months by studying to teach the students than I have in a long time. Because I was always a student. You spout it to me, I could spout it back. I had to actually go in and understand it. And this was more for them, and it was for me too, because I realized a lot of times I was pointing right at myself for the things that the book was talking about. I took a book geared toward youth ministers to help the youth become better adults. And I realized I need to take part of this. I need to be part of this and act on these suggestions. And that was a great thing for me because it told me there was a whole lot more growth. I knew there was growth for me, but now it shows me. I also became more knowledgeable because of that. Now, you're going to be surprised by this, but let's think back to your lesson last week. I actually paid attention. Hey. Last week he had a lesson. Now, it's probably because it's a video. We're not going to harp on that. But he showed a video last week. Guy talking about baggage and how we tend to put baggage on other people. Guilty. Have done it before. I've done it to myself. Done it to other people. But that's what we do. As Christians, we're not supposed to do this. This goes against what God wants us to do. He wants us to go out, spread the word, spread the light, be positive, not to put baggage on other people. So that lesson was actually very good about that, and it fit in this week. And as Christians, we can be a great influence on people. We can be a positive influence. We can be a negative influence. You hear those, you see those people, and this is one of the things we talked about Wednesday night, is you see people Monday through Saturday, and you see how they act, and then you see them here on Sunday. Not here, but church on Sunday. I've seen that. I went to church with those people's kid as a kid. I'd see what they did Monday through Friday at school, and they come to church on Sunday, and it's like, this doesn't quite match up. But that's what we have to do. We have to be sure that we carry that throughout the week. It's a Sunday through Saturday deal. It's not just Sunday. It's not just Wednesday night. It's all the time. We need to go out in that world, spread the light. Don't hide our light. And don't put out the light that somebody else has. I've seen that. We're so negative to somebody who comes out and talks about being a Christian that we put their light out. And that's not fair to them. It's not fair to God. That's something we have to be careful about. And I think as I get older, that's a whole lot easier. But as a teenager, you're just trying to be cool and you say something stupid and you put somebody's light out, put baggage on them. That's not fair. So just like so many of the people discussed in the Bible, we all have greatness inside of us. And this is actually something I got from Sean's class last Sunday night. I paid attention. Last Sunday was a good day. Paid attention. Now, we all have potential for greatness, but will we tap into that greatness? Will we tap into that potential? Will we use it for God? Will we use it to spread the light? And if we do, will we go out into the world and share that light and take care of not put baggage on other people? Because that's not fair to them. Now going back to the opening passage, back Acts 17, 1 through 5 that we opened with. Which role do we want to play in discussing God's word? Do we want to be like Paul and his companions and come into town and spread the word? Or do we want to be like the bad characters? A direct quote from the New International. Bad characters to stir up a riot and start a mob. Which ones are we going to be? Now, the challenge for us today, as we leave here today, is what role do we want to put into action in this world as Christians? This is a challenge to all of us, from the newest Christian in the room to the oldest Christian, longest serving Christian in the room, from the least knowledgeable person in the room to the most knowledgeable person in the room. That's a challenge for us. Even if we've, and this is where Sean's point comes in, even if we've done great things in the past, we can still do great things in the future. Don't rest on our laurels because we did something great 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago. We still have to move forward. I had a football coach one time. He said, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. And that's the truth. If you're not getting better, other people are. If you're not moving forward as a Christian and other people are, you're being stagnant. You're not getting there. So, what role do you want to play in spreading God's word? And what message to the people of this world, and getting that message to the people of this world that need it? What role do you want to do? And that's a challenge. It's not just for you, it's for me too. The challenge to go out and take that light out and share it in the world to the people who need it, to bring them out of that darkness of sin and ignorance. So, please join us as we stand and sing the closing song.